Good to see you all here tonight, and I pray the Lord set you free. And if you've come with some difficulty tonight, I pray that you will experience His power in your life, and He'll set you free from that and heal you from that. What a good crowd to be here tonight, and I just feel like there's so many needs out there. I'm going to go ahead and pray for them. We've got this list of requests. You'll have to bear with me. I shake all the time anyway, and I'm used to a mic on my ear, and I'm having trouble with this hand mic, but we'll make it through it tonight. But I've got this list of requests, and I want to pray for them. And if you've got a need tonight, as I pray, you reach out to God. Let Him touch your life. Believe Him. Trust Him. Know that whatever you're walking through, He'll walk with you through it. And as the good shepherd, He won't leave you alone. He'll bring you through it. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful to come to this place tonight and to worship You. Lord, I pray that as we felt Your presence, that Lord, it's inspired us, it's invigorated us, it's encouraged us, that Lord, we can trust You. And Lord, we come to You tonight. I have a sheet that is full of requests of people that need a touch of Your healing power. And I pray, Lord, by Your awesome power and in Your name, Lord Jesus, that You will touch them and restore their health, that You will raise them up as a testimony to Your graciousness and Your love for Your creation. And Lord, for the blood that You shed on Calvary and the stripes that You bore on Your back, oh Lord, for us to be healed and to experience Your divine power. And I pray right now that there are some that are sitting here that, Lord, as they reach out to You, that right now they experience Your power in their lives, a touch of Your divine grace, Lord, touching their bodies and making them whole. Lord, there may be some here that have relational problems, and I pray that somehow, Lord, tonight they will feel encouraged that You are going to get in the midst of their situation, and by the greatest wisdom ever, Your wisdom, Lord, You are going to work in that relationship to patch it up, to mend it, and to make it completely whole. And we'll thank You for that. Lord, for those that are in desperate financial situations, I pray that, Lord, You would encourage them, that You are opening doors of opportunity and prosperity for them. And, Lord, You will meet their every need. And I pray that, Lord, they'll get that calm assurance that they've laid it before You. And, Lord, You have heard their cry and You have answered their prayer. Lord, speak through me Your words tonight to these people. May we go from this place encouraged because we've come and we have fellowship and worshiped You. And it's in Your precious name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, I was talking to a wise young woman the other day, and she was helping recall to me the story of a man named Jehoshaphat. Would that wise young woman raise her hand right over there, Miss Montez? Thank you. And she told me, don't take your eyes off of the Lord. And you know, as I looked into Scripture and I recall the story of Jehoshaphat, who was the fourth king of Judah and a great king of Judah. There weren't hardly any good kings in the northern kingdom, Israel, but there were a few in the southern kingdom of Judah. And Jehoshaphat was the fourth in the line of Judah. Well, he was a man of God. He had been raised in a godly home and had a good father and a good family. And he grew up knowing God and he walked with God. But one thing he learned early was to keep his eyes upon the Lord. And we have the story recounted in 1 Kings 22 and a few chapters thereafter. But what I want to look at tonight is 2 Chronicles chapter 17 through about chapter 21. And you might want to go home and read that story for yourself. It's a great story. You know, Romans 15, chapter 15 and verse 4 says, these things were written aforetime for our example, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. And you know, if we don't read the Scripture, we are doing ourselves a disservice, because it is through the Word of God, the Scripture, that He can speak to us. We can have all sorts of experiences, but if they don't line up with the Word of God in the Bible, we've just got a counterfeit. We need to make sure that what we believe and what we trust about our God is what is backed up in the Scripture, because it is the standard. That's why in most churches, you see the pulpit, the speaker stand in the middle of the congregation, because the Scripture is central to our faith. It is what lets us know about the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is what we read to understand His ways, to gain His wisdom, and for Him to develop our spiritual lives. Jehoshaphat understood that. Now I'm going to try to read in 2 Chronicles, just the first part of chapter 17, verses about 1 through 12. Give you a little background about him. Then I want to say four things about him. And most of the time, I'm not a long-winded preacher. So we'll get through this quickly. You just stay with me and let the Lord speak to your heart. Chapter 17 of 2 Chronicles. And Jehoshaphat's dad has just died. His name was Asa. And he's taken over the southern kingdom of Judah. There was only two kingdoms in the southern kingdom of Judah, Judah and Benjamin. And Jehoshaphat becomes king of the southern kingdom. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead, and he strengthened himself against Israel. You see, Israel had a bad, wicked king and a queen. Her name was Jezebel. I know you've heard of her, and you probably heard of Ahab the king. Well, he was related to the people in the southern kingdom, but he was the king over the 10 northern tribes after they had split at the death of Solomon. And Ahab was always trying to see how he could take over the southern kingdom, how he could enlarge his borders, how he could gain stuff that he didn't need, but he wanted it just so he could say that he had it. And his wife designed a plot to kill a man and to steal his garden, because that's what her husband Ahab wanted. And the prophet came to him and said, your days are numbered and payday is going to take place someday. Now, it took about 3 years, but Ahab found the judgment of God because of the wickedness that he had done to Naboth, one of God's servants. And God sent out his justice. And just what the prophet had prophesied was going to happen to Ahab and to Jezebel happened to both of them, just like the prophet said. You know, that's what we need today, is to get back to hearing God and to understanding what his word is. And then we can put our faith and our trust and our confidence in it. We got so many psychological programs and political programs. What we need is to get back to the true Word of God and let it sanctify us. Jesus said in John 17:17, Lord, sanctify my servants. Thy Word is truth. And what Jesus tried to preach to the apostles, what turned out to be the apostles, was that God's Word is true. It'll make us holy. It'll separate us from sin. It'll separate us from the world. It'll separate us to Him. And we can be what He wants us to be. Well, let me see. Strengthened himself against Israel because Jehoshaphat thought that the guy who was king of the northern tribe was probably going to try to slip down and take his throne. And so he increased his military might and made his country secure. And let me tell you, the Lord was watching over him, and all the enemies around him feared him, and they didn't have to, but they sent money and gifts to the king of Judah because the fear of the Lord was on them because of his faithfulness to God. Well, verse 2, and he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, and he set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and he sought not Balaam. But he sought to the Lord God of his father, and he walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Not about himself, not in the pride of life, not in the pride of his own fleshy strength, but his heart was lifted up in the Lord, and he pursued God's ways. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. And also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nathaniel, and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. Now, that was some bad names right there, but we're going to get to some worse in just a second. And I might rub my mouth and kind of camouflage what I'm saying just so you won't know how bad I'm going to pronounce them. Verse 8, and with them he sent Levites and Shemaiah and Nathaniah and Zebadiah and Asahel and Shemiramoth. Every time I look at Shemaiah and Shemiramoth, I want to pronounce them the same way, and it's tough. And Jehonathan and Adonijah and Tobijah and Tob Adonijah, Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram, priest. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. And also some of the Philistines, you remember they're the ones who put Samson's eyes out, brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute silver. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 he-goats. And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built cities in Judah, or he built in Judah castles and cities of store. Well, you can see he was a prosperous man, and the blessing of the Lord was up on him. But I want to say four things about him. First of all, he walked in the ways of the Lord. He walked with God. He had power in his life because he walked with God. And you can't miss the mark if you're walking with God. Galatians 5:16, if we'll walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, so much of the time we're fulfilling the lust in the flesh and then we're repenting of it. Well, one of the reasons we're having to repent of it because we're not walking with God. If we just walk with God, the way most of us live our life is, we go from tragedy to tragedy or difficulty to difficulty. And long as things are going good, we're just cruising along there and we just forget God until something happens to snap us back to Him. But if we would walk with the Lord and fellowship with Him just in the routine of our lives, when God would speak something to us, we could hear it. And things wouldn't catch us by surprise so often if we were walking with the Good Shepherd, because He would go before us. And if we would follow Him, He would lead us in His paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But He would lead us in this life and guide our steps and make a way for us in the wilderness where there seems to be no way, is what Isaiah said. And he walked with the Lord, and his fellowship was sweet with the Lord, and he sought the Lord, and the Lord spoke to his heart, and he began to do away with things that were turning his people away from the worship of God. He walked with the Lord. I want to encourage you to develop some time where you can study God's word and you can begin to fellowship with him. And not just on church days, or not just when you need something, oh Lord, I need something today, but just fellowship with him. Let me tell you, when you learn to fellowship with the Lord, the power and the grace that he ministers back to you, it becomes so refreshing. You become so full of his joy. You have strength even in the midst of difficulty or trials. And you'll feel His power as He will walk with you through what you are facing. He walked with the Lord. But He did something else. He found power in the Word of God. In chapter 18, you read an interesting story. Ahab, who was king of the northern kingdom, had a daughter named Athaliah, one of the worst women in the scripture. After her husband died, she tried to kill all the males on his side of the family so they wouldn't have an heir to the kingship, and she could become queen, which she did for a little while. She was a vicious woman. Her daddy was Ahab, her mother was Jezebel. And so her daddy, the king of the northern kingdom, calls her husband's father, Jehoshaphat, and says, "Why don't you come up here and visit with me?" And so Jehoshaphat goes to Samaria in the northern kingdom, and he sits down, and they have a great banquet, and Ahab doesn't spare anything to impress Jehoshaphat. But he had one little item he wanted to talk to him about. He said, "You know, Ramoth Gilead, that little town over across the Jordan River, it used to be part of ours, and the Syrians took it. We need to take that back. Will you join up with me, and let's go over there with our armies, and let's take that city back?" And Jehoshaphat said, "Well, what's the Lord say about it? I want to hear what the Lord says about it." And you know, if we'd take our cue from Jehoshaphat, when we've got a decision to make, if we'd just say, "Lord, what are you saying about it?" it would help us. And you see, that's where walking with the Lord comes in so beneficial, because as we walk with the Lord and fellowship Him, His voice becomes more clear to us. There's a lot of voices out there. We want to make sure we hear the right voice. And so Jehoshaphat is dined at the feast that Ahab throws him, and he thinks about it, and he said, "Don't you have a prophet of the Lord around here?" And Ahab said, "Yeah, I got 400 of them." And so he calls them all up there, and Jehoshaphat sitting in his kingly robes, and Ahab sitting in his kingly robes, and Ahab said, "You prophets of the Lord, should we go up and fight against the Syrians and take back Ramoth Gilead?" And all 400 of them said, "Amen." They started putting on a pep rally, and one of them started dancing around, and he had made some bull horns out of iron, and he was dancing around with them, and he said, "Just as these horns are, you will gore the Syrians and push them back into their territory, and you'll take that land." And Jehoshaphat could see all the carrying on and the goings on, and he said, "Hey, isn't there a prophet of the Lord here? All these guys are saying things, but I don't have a kindred spirit with them. Can't you find somebody that knows the Lord?" And Ahab said, "Well, there is one fellow here, but he never says a good word about me. Every time he prophesies, it's negative. Every time he says something about me, it's all bad. It's never positive." You know, one thing that Jehoshaphat understood, that 400 men claiming to be prophets of the Lord could not have the truth. I want to tell you, it's not majority rule when it comes to what God's speaking. And sometimes people come in the name of the Lord, we need to make sure they're coming in the real Lord's name, because there's a lot of voices out there that would lead us astray. Why? Because some of us haven't gotten into God's Word to know what the Bible teaches about different things. And you see, one of the things that Jehoshaphat's going to learn is, I want my people to know God's Word. And so when he becomes king, he starts sending out the priests and the Levites going to every town in his nation and teaching them the ways of the Lord. He was interested in them understanding God's Word for themselves. It's not good enough for a man like me to stand up here and just tell you the Word of God, and you hope it's the truth. You hope our interpretation's right. But it's needful that we trust God's Scripture and learn God's Scripture for ourselves. We need to take it down, and we need to open it up, and we need to read it for ourselves and let God's Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Book of John says you won't need to have any learning about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit, the one that anoints you, he will guide you into all truth. We might not know everything about the Bible, but if we'll start reading it, God will speak to our hearts and we'll begin to understand it. And the next time we come over that passage we didn't understand, or the next time, or the next time, or the next time, he may illuminate our eyes and we'll understand the truth of God. We need to know it for ourselves. And so Jehoshaphat taught all the people in his country how to interpret and understand the word of God. But here he is standing before these false prophets, and he said, isn't there one prophet that is true to the God? And Ahab said, yeah, but he never says anything good about me. But he sends one of his men after him, said, go get Micaiah and tell him to come back up here. And so on the way back, the guy that was sent to get Micaiah says, look, 400 prophets have spoken to the king and they've said a good word to him. So, you know, take a hint. Don't mess up the program. Tell him what he wants to hear. And so Micaiah gets back to Ahab, and Ahab says, do you think we ought to go fight against Ramoth, or go fight against the Syrians and take Ramoth Gilead back? And Micaiah was being with satire, and he said, oh yeah, go do it. You'll whoop them. You'll destroy them. You'll take it back. And the king knew he was being sarcastic. And he said, haven't I told you that when you come and stand before me that you speak the truth? And so Micaiah said, okay, the Lord showed me all of Israel scattered upon the mountains. All of the northern kingdom's warriors are scattered upon the mountains. They're in such a state of confusion. And get this, they are like sheep without a shepherd. Their leader is gone. And what was he telling Ahab? You're going to die. Now, Ahab didn't receive his word. Ahab said, see what I tell you, Jehoshaphat, he never has a good word to say about me. If I knew that, and the man was speaking the truth to me, I tell you one thing, I'd get on my knees and cry out to God in repentance and try to get a good word spoken to me somehow. But Ahab decided to disregard Micaiah's word and to go on and fight the battle. And he camouflaged, or he disguised himself. And what the king of Syria had told his soldiers, I don't care how many men you kill in this battle, but I want to make sure of one thing, you kill the king of Israel. You kill Ahab. That's the only man I want destroyed. And so they go out to fight, and Ahab's all disguised. Nobody recognizes him. He thinks he's going to get away with it. And just the Bible says at random, or at pure venture, one of the enemy soldiers launched an arrow, and it was like a guided missile. And it hit Ahab. And shortly after that, he died. And he thought he was all protected. He thought he was disguised, but he didn't know that the prophet of the Lord had spoken the truth about his situation, and he lost his life that day in the battle. Well, Jehoshaphat wanted to hear the word of the Lord because he knew the word of God was truth, and if he latched on to the truth, then he was going to be all right. But if he believed a lie, it could bring harm to him. I want to encourage you today that we need to study God's word so that we can know what the truth is. We got so many people that tag the name of Jesus on them, and I'm sure some of them don't even know him. And that's a sad thing. But they're going around for filthy lucre, or for fame, or for some other something. But let me tell you, you can't just take their word for it. You need to be able to back it up in the scripture, because that make all the difference in the world in your life if you know the truth or not. And Jehoshaphat wanted his people to study the word of God because that'd make all the difference in the world in their life. But let me go on. I'm going to quickly hasten on. He found the power of God when he worshiped the Lord. You see, it was a few years after that, and he was getting close to time for him to depart and go be with the Lord. And before that, the Moabites and the Ammonites decided we're going to invade Judah and we're going to take them over and we're going to rob them. And their army was superior to Jehoshaphat's army at that time. We read about this in chapter 21. And Jehoshaphat heard that a multitude of soldiers was coming toward the capital city. And he fell on his face before the Lord and he began to pray and he began to worship the Lord. And one of the men of God that was in his nation, a prophet of the Lord, I believe his name was, let me look it up right here. I'm having a senior moment. And my wife says I'm getting worse at having them. Well, I know it's in chapter 21, but I can't lay my finger on it right now. Did you say 2014? Have y'all ever seen a preacher forget his sermon? Jahaziel was the prophet of the Lord that spoke to Jehoshaphat and said, don't worry about the battle. The battle is the Lord's. Just worship the Lord and praise him and the Lord will go before you and he will handle the battle. And guess what? Jehoshaphat got all his men together and he sent the singers ahead of them and they were praising God and all of a sudden God stepped in and he said, this is my battle. And he inhabited the praises of his people and he made the guys that were fighting against Jehoshaphat or were going to fight against him, he made them begin to fight each other. And the Moabites and the Ammonites killed each other. And the Lord routed them that day. And Jehoshaphat looked out and he saw the enemy army laying dead on the field of battle while they were worshiping the Lord. Let me tell you, the battle is the Lord's. He wants to go before us. He wants to lead us from victory unto victory. And what we need to do is just hear him, obey him, and follow him. And he'll march before us. And if he's sending us to do something, he's well equipped to take care of whatever he's given us to do. We just need to make sure we've heard his voice and we're obedient to it. And if we'll worship him, we'll find an endowment of power in our lives from simply reaching out to God in worship and praising his name. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of people in here that might be like me, can't sing. They made me pantomime. I've told you this before when I was in the youth choir. But let me tell you, they can't stop me now. And I don't sing in the choir, and I wouldn't mess up the ensemble, but I'm going to praise God. If I'm in the car, I'm going to praise God. If I'm walking down the halls, I'm going to praise God. On Sunday mornings, we have a time of fellowship, and sometimes when the sound man forgets to turn off my microphone, then the people in the congregation, they get a joyful racket instead of a joyful noise. But let me tell you, if you haven't come to find out the secret power that is in worshiping God, I want to encourage you to begin to just worship God and you'll feel him come inhabit, make his abode within your praise and it'll empower your life. And you'll find out like Jehoshaphat did, there was power in worshiping God. Well, let me get on to my last point. There was power in the work of God. God showed up and he destroyed the enemy army. And he became a witness to God's grace and God's power. And the enemy nations around him had the fear of God in their territory. And they said, we're not going to mess with Jehoshaphat. And so his kingdom had peace. And they made no war. As a matter of fact, they sent him gifts and presents and tribute. Well, what am I saying tonight? I'm saying to be a man of God like Jehoshaphat, a woman of God, who had the same characteristics, that reached out to God, that believed God's word, that walked with God, that worshiped God, and saw the work of God in their lives because they fellowshipped with him. Well, God bless you for being here. I know there may be some of you here tonight that have never trusted Jesus, and I want to plead with you to give your heart to him. 2,000 years ago, he stretched out his hands and gave his blood on Calvary that he could save us from our sin. And the reason he did that, because he loves us and he loves you. And if you don't know him tonight, whatever situation you find yourself in, if you'll just reach out to him and say, Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins and come into my heart, and by your transforming power, change my life. He'll do that. I'm going to ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you'd like to pray a prayer of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never trusted him, you've never become a Christian, if you'll just slip your hand up and slip it back down. Anyone here, just slip it up and slip it back down. Maybe you've been going through difficulty and you need prayer for God's intervention in your life. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's relational. You just slip your hand up and slip it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to pray over you and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you for your presence here tonight. I pray that God has spoken to your heart and that you've felt the touch of his divine power. Lord Jesus, thank you for being with us here tonight. I pray you've spoken to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you have encouraged us as we've come and we've listened to this story that was written for our example. And I pray that, Lord, as we reach out to you, we'll feel your grace and your kindness, your love toward us, and that will cause us, Lord, to open our lives up to you and to experience your power in our situations. Lord, for those that are facing health problems and negative news from the doctor, I pray that somehow, Lord, you will lift them up, that you will encourage them. And I pray, Lord Jesus, in your power and by your name, that you'd touch their bodies, walk with them through this experience and restore their health. Lord, I pray for those that are having financial problems, that, Lord, you would open doors, guide their steps, send them to the place where they might get gainful employment. And I pray that, Lord, you would meet their need financially. Lord, for those that are having relational problems, I pray that you'll intervene in their situation. Lord, with their hearts breaking and the anxiousness that comes with worry, I pray that you'd drive that away. And Lord, you'd give them an experience where they feel your arms are wrapped around them and you're going to walk with them through this difficult time. And Lord, you're going to put things back together because, Lord, you're a God of redemption. And I pray that, Lord, as they reach out to you, they will feel you're redeeming their situation. Lord, just bless Dennis and Skeeter and Josh and these that are gathered here tonight. Thank you for their commitment to come out and to worship you. And Lord Jesus, it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.